Welcome to Maximum Impact, reaching you from the Citadel of Impact, Abuja, New Estate Baptist Church. We enjoin you to open your mind and connect with the Lord as we receive engrafted words. Get ready to be greatly blessed as we join His anointed servant, Pastor Abiodun Aribike.
If you have been in this church for a while, you know Easter is my favorite time of the year. It's my favorite. I'm always on a high during Easter, because Easter brings hope. Matthew 28, let's read the first 6 verses and go on a journey. Matthew 28, verse 1 to 6, and we go on a journey. Let's go. Now, after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Why did he sit on it? Say, I have rolled it. Let me see who will come and put it back. He rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. When last did you see lightning? Soon, when the rain starts falling, you will soon see different kind of lightning. And the angel was described as a person whose appearance was like lightning. So all around him are electricity, maybe 12,000 megavolts striking all around. Well, let's go. And for the fear of him, the guards who were making noise and abusing Jesus before, what happened to them? They trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Can we read the last part? But let's go. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said, come, see the place. Where he has lived. Help me tell somebody, he is not here. He is risen. Let's make it a secret. Say, he is not in the grave. He is risen. Many people go on pilgrimage, and for every pilgrimage they go to the tomb of their prophet and the tomb of the founder of their religion, and their bones are still there. It is only Christianity that has an empty tomb to prove to everyone that our God is alive. And if he is alive, anything dead in you is a matter of time. Those things can come alive also. But if you look at verse 3, he said, behold, there was an earthquake. Therefore, we come this morning. Anyone shot behind any tomb, anyone buried anywhere, whatever belongs to you that have been hidden anywhere, far away from you, by divine earthquake, let all these things be released back unto you. In the name of Jesus. Then let's see, how did we get here? Listen to me, please. God is the master planner. And in your life also, please listen to me attentively today and discover that when things are not going on right, according to how you want it in life, listen to today's message and know that God is a master planner. In the midst of what looks like failure, He is planning great and mighty things for His children. Are we in church? Let's go on the journey. Genesis 20, Matthew 26. Matthew 26. 38 to 45. Matthew 26, 38 to 45. We'll look at the topic of a message, Jesus paid it all, and we'll look at everything that Jesus did in the book of Matthew 27. Then he said to them, my soul is sorrowful, even to death. Remain here, watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. 40. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let me look at the Luke's episode. Luke 22, 45. Or jump to around 46 for me. Oh, okay. Go back. Luke 22, 43. Just go back a little bit. Okay. Leave it on verse 44. Okay, so Jesus was praying. This prayer of Jesus, Sas Ama, was he answered? That thing you have been looking for, after you have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and it looked as if it was not answered. Learn from Jesus. This particular prayer point, he knew he was asking for something that will not be answered. He knew this was the purpose why he came. But the burden of that assignment was too big and too strong for him. So he went and prayed. Oh, Father, if it be possible, take this from me. And then he said, well, but not according to my will, but your will be done. Go to verse 44, like I said. Leave it there for me. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Is anybody here that has prayed before and your sweat, instead of sweat, blood started coming out? Even after all this, he did not say, oh God, you have disappointed me. I don't understand the kind of Christianity we have nowadays where prosperity is the main thing. When anything goes wrong for 5 minutes, God is dead. He's not available. He has failed me. That was Jesus praying. He prayed 1 hour. Instead of sweat, blood was coming. I'm sure it was not that kind of prayer we pray. My Father, as I was telling you last week, I've come again this week, and I say, you know, there are some things that hook you. When you yourself pray, there are prayers you pray, you yourself, you know you are afraid. There are prayers you pray, you yourself know you are joking. He prayed this, and blood was coming out. Please, I beg you, let's learn lessons from the plan of God. The prayer, the cup was not shifted because of the assignment. Listen to me. What you are created to do, if you like, pray against it a million times, it will not be changed. You will still have to do it. Are we here? Did you know what Jesus gained from us here? He gained back our will and brought our will in alignment with the will of God. Can I tell you this? If what you desire and your will in life is not in alignment with the will of God, you will fail totally. And God will always have his way. He prayed. When we sinned, when Adam sinned in the garden, we lost our will. Our will was corrupted. When Jesus came and prayed, yes, he gained back our will. Therefore, your will can be in alignment with the will of God for your life. You can release your agenda, release your mandate, and make your life in alignment with the will and plan of God for our life. You can't say the devil forced me, because Jesus got back our free will for us while he was praying here. Not my will, but your will be done. So from now on, whatever you did it yourself. You can't blame the devil, because Jesus got your will back for you. Yeah. Do we understand that? That's one. Let's go on this journey. Genesis 26. Let's jump to verse 15. So, why all those things were working? The devil did not know that God, the master planner, was trying to get the will of men back for them so that they can boldly take their own decision no matter what the enemy wants to do. He called the way back. Now, whenever you hear Genesis, put it on Matthew for me. I don't know, since yesterday, whenever I want to call Matthew, I call Genesis. Even when I was preparing, whenever I want to open Matthew, I open Genesis. I'll go and ask for the meaning of that later, but go to the Genesis of the New Testament, Matthew. And Judah said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" Can we read together? And they did what? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. When that thing was going on, the devil has put Judas, go and betray him, collect 30 pieces of silver. Do we understand this? While Judas was playing that trick and collecting that money, he didn't have understanding of what was going on. Exodus 21:32. God, the master planner, if the odds cause a slave, male or female, the owner shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. Judas, a stupid man, sold Jesus for his slave. 30 shekels of silver is the price of his slave. God, the master planner, allowed that because cheat people. People are in slavery to sin. People are in slavery to sickness. People are in slavery of the devil. When Judas paid, when they gave Judas that money, and God did not stop it, God was setting Jesus up to pay for every form of slavery you can ever go through. So if you are in slavery to pornography, if you are addicted to anything, know that 30 shekels of silver was paid for Jesus. Jesus was sold for 30 shekels of silver to deliver you from every slavery. Whatever is holding you bound, 30 shekels of silver was paid for the life of Jesus for that. When that was happening, the devil was shouting, "Yeah, I am winning." He did not know that the master planner had a plan. That betrayer of Jesus was for a release from slavery for all of us. Therefore, none can slave you. None can enslave you again, except you want it. When you are enslaved mentally, whatever, when you come with this price, "Jesus, you were sold for 30 shekels of silver, that I might be delivered from slavery. Let the yoke of slavery be broken over my life." You will see what God will do for you. That price was to deliver you from every slavery. Are we still here? Jesus paid it all. Genesis 27, verse 26. If you read verse 3 to 6 of Genesis 27, you will see Judas coming back, changing his mind. Because of our time, I will not go there. But let's jump. Let's go. Matthew 27:26. Chibi, you know that Matthew is the Genesis of the New Testament. Please just don't bother. Go with me. Matthew 27:26. Can we all read together? "Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified." It looks as if the devil was still winning. It looks he has sold him for a price. He has been bought by a price. Now they delivered him to be killed, to be crucified. And they did what? "And having scourged him." What is the meaning of scourge? He was beaten terribly. Why was he beaten terribly? God, the master planner. Why the devil was doing everything he was doing, God was busy turning everything around. No wonder God, the Bible says, if the devil knew, he wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. He wouldn't have. What am I saying? See, that problem you are going through, Those challenges you are going through, you didn't know that God was using it at the background to fight some battle, to turn some things around for you. The same thing he did for Jesus.
Jesus could have looked and said, "My Father, and you call yourself God. Why are you doing this now? Why are you forsaking me? Why have you done this now?"
But he went through it, knowing that his Father is a master planner. They scourge him. And they scourge him. Why was he scourged? 1 Peter 2:24. What was the implication of that, of him being scourged? He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die, to sin and live to righteousness. Can we all read the last part together? By his wounds you have been healed. By his stripes we have. So when he was being beaten, 39 strokes of it, 40 minus 1. I will not go into reason why it's 40 minus 1. 39 times, scourge.
With a whip with blade at the edge of it. 39 times, scourge. Pulling it out, it pulls part of his flesh out. Why was it done? For your healing. On the week of the Passion, Jesus started manifesting the plan of God for our lives.
There was nothing that happened to him at that time that did not happen for a reason. Listen to me. Why would Jesus be scourged 39 times and you will be sick and you will accept it? Why? Why? Why would Jesus be scourged 39 times and you will be told you have hypertension and say, "That is my cross"? Who told you that is your cross? Has Jesus not carried the cross?
Everything we are telling you today is to show you the victory that Jesus has given you,
so that you can come and enforce that victory in your life. Are we seeing, church? By his stripes we were. By his stripes. Look at this translation here. By his wound you have been. When they say you have been healed, what does it mean? What is the difference between you have been healed and you will be healed? Oh Lord. Please, if you will heal me, I will appreciate it. Wrong prayer. You have been healed. Hello? The manifestation of a sickness is an illusion. You must bring the stripes and the blood of Jesus to enforce the victory that Christ has won for you already on the cross of Calvary. Hello, do you understand? I've always given an example of the devil being a naughty person. There are some people, even if they see Mopo with God, they will still challenge him. That is the devil. But Mopo must use a gun butt to strike him, so that he will know that Mopo is serious. Are you here? By his stripes. By his stripes. We're healed. I have been healed. Hello, are we here? We have many questions about healing. I'll come, if God permits us this year, I'll come and teach healing, maybe for a month or 2 months. And look at Bible verses and what the Bible is saying about.
But what you need to know, that the price for your healing has been paid already.
Please, do you understand what we are saying? He was scourged for your healing. So when you watch Passion for Christ and you see them whipping Jesus and bringing that in out, it is not the time to cry. It is time to claim your healing. It's not time to say, all these Jews, See the way they dealt with Jesus. They dealt with Jesus that way for your healing. By his stripes, we have been healed. I'm trying to make up my mind not to be praying some prayers for you again. I believe when I teach and you understand, you pray the prayer for. I don't want to say, "I don't come." Say, "Now I come." Every sickness here, I don't want to do that again. I've told you, you have been healed by his stripes.
If you are sick, what do? You claim the healing. You pray it for yourself. Stop waiting for your pastor to make declarations of promises that have been given to you already. Promises that Jesus died for.
We were healed by his tribe.
Jump to verse 29. Jump to verse 29. No, verse 29 of our passage. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, 29. So from Gethsemane, from the garden of Gethsemane, to him this wood for 30 pieces of silver, to him this scourge. And I want us to read together 27, 29. I love this passage, this verse, because it's an area of a call for me. Let's read it together. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand.
And kneeling before him, what did they do? They mocked him, saying, "Hail!"
Everything that they did was for a turnaround for the believer. Genesis 3:17. No, Genesis. Read Genesis.
And Adam, and to Adam,
he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it."
What did he say? "Cause is the ground because of you. In pain, you will eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and what? Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plant of the feet." Verse 19. "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you were dust, and to dust you shall return." The curse brought forth the thorns that make work difficult. What was the solution? He brought forth thorns again and put on his head. When those thorns shook his head, the blood that came out was to resolve everything that has to do with your work. The ground is not cause for your sake. Jesus, by the thorn on his head, brought a deliverance from every profitless hard work. Jesus, by that thorn on his head, brought a deliverance from every poverty.
So far as a child of God, you bring the blood of Jesus against anything working against you in your place of work, because Jesus paid for it. Are you in church? He paid for it. You must enforce it.
Enforcing it might take 2 years. Enforcing it might take 3 years. Enforcing it might take 2 days. Enforcing it might take 1 hour. Depending on where you are and your situation.
But enforce it. Come by the blood. And say, "The ground is no longer cursed for me." Jesus shed his blood. A thorn was put on his head so that I might be delivered from every poverty and every profitless hard work. Therefore, listen to me. Whatever you do, whatever you sell, is water, is granite, is whatever, you must prosper in it. Because Jesus, the thorn, bears him. Are we seeing, church?
Everything was the devil was saying, mocking.
"Oh, yeah, you will go and bring thorn, put on his head, mocking." He didn't know. If they knew, they wouldn't have crucified the God of the King of. They wouldn't have crucified him.
If only they knew. They wouldn't have. All those things was for our emancipation.
We thank him. Matthew 27. 35. And the main thing now, and when they are crucified him, they divided his garment among them by casting lot. Please, look at it now. They crucified him and divided his garment. Those pictures you see
about the resurrection is covering some things. Jesus was crucified naked. He had nothing here. You know all those which are away to see, something they hear. The garment was taken away. He was crucified naked, in case you don't know. He bore the shame. He was humiliated. So that you will no longer suffer any kind of shame and humiliation again.
He paid the price to stop every disgrace, every embarrassment, every humiliation, and every shame coming to you. He allowed himself
to be crucified naked. Look at it, though. They divided his garment. He didn't have it on him. You will not know shame. Jesus has suffered shame so that we will not suffer shame. Therefore, any shame, any disgrace, every embarrassment, every event orchestrated to bring all these things against you,
today, let them be terminated. Let them be terminated. Jesus was crucified naked
so that we will not know shame. Help me tell somebody, say you will not know shame. Say because of Jesus, you will not know shame. In the name of Jesus, drop it on that verse 35 for me. And when they had crucified him, why did God allow him to be crucified? Number one, for the forgiveness of our sins. Hebrews 9, 22. I will just run with this. Hebrews 9, 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. Can we read the last part together? And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So he was crucified and went through that pain. Why? For the forgiveness of our sins. So I laugh when somebody says, I will never forgive you. Do I need your forgiveness? God has forgiven me. If he don't forgive you, I will never forgive you. I will never say, wait. Have you seen the life of people that keep saying, I will never forgive you? They look mean, terrible, bitter, ugly, older than their age. I forgive you. I'm going to show you. Did you wait to pray? And so? Now you create me. Now you day heaven. I'll never forgive you. See, listen to me. When you forgive people, you do yourself a favor more than that person. A person living in unforgiveness has put himself in a self-imposed prison. When I was sick, he did not come to my house. He's imagining that you will be sick also so that he will not come. Now lie. The person will not be sick. Now lie. You that was on your way to hell and you were forgiving, you say you will not forgive somebody. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass. Any believer that says, I will never forgive, is believing, is in doubt.
The blood was shed for forgiveness.
You remember the parable that Jesus gave of a man that somebody owed a big man something, and the big man forgave everything, and he saw somebody owing him coins, and he hold the person and put the person in prison. And the big man came and was angry. I forgave you. Why can't you forgive? I will never. If you know the thing. Prisoner. You are imprisoning yourself when you don't forgive. Jesus was crucified to give us forgiveness. Let's move on. Why was he crucified? Hebrews 9:14. How much more would the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal spirit, offer himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This God is a wonderful God. I've met people that were hardened, very hardened in the past. But when they gave their life, you see them crying over little things. Those days, you look at them, this God guy.
At that time, he had no conscience. The blood of Jesus purifies us. For Jesus cleanses us from every kind of dirty conscience and make our conscience alive to live for God. So when he does something wrong now, yeah, in those days, he will do it publicly. Did you notice that people that are wicked, evil sinners, they can do everything, they do everything publicly. Did you notice all the things they do, they don't care. Did you not notice that believers that have a higher one, even to tell somebody, Jesus loves you, we can't say it publicly. Why? But let's go back to conscience. He shed his blood to purge us from our conscience. Let me run. Ephesians 1:7. Why did he shed his blood? Ephesians 1:7. He shed his blood for our redemption. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses that we spoke about before, according to the riches of his grace. Why did he shed his blood? For our redemption. What is redemption? To buy you back. When you were living your sin, you sold yourself to the devil. When Jesus came, one of the first things he did was redemption. Buy you back. So, if you belong to Jesus, you've given your life to him, you are not under the rule of a devil. You have been bought back. It's as if somebody borrowed you money. In those days, if they lend you money and you can't pay back, they can take you in lieu of that money. In Bible days, they can take you, they can take your children in lieu of the money. So, in person, have sold himself cheaply. The devil has taken us in lieu of our sins and our trespasses. And when Jesus came, he brought us back. So we are no longer under the authority of the devil. Always remember that the devil is a bastard. He will keep behaving as if you're under his authority. He will keep trying you. He will keep doing whatever. You are the one that will say, ah, Jesus, Lord, don't pay you now. Where's it? I bring the blood against you. Because the blood is the blood of redemption. Why was he crucified? So that we might be redeemed. Are we still here? Verse 35, he was crucified. How do they crucify? They crucified on hands. Is that not it? And then what? Their feet. Is that it? Hello, is that it? Why were those nails put in his hands? Matthew 39 verse 3. Genesis 39 verse 3. Today, not today. Oh. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and he caused all that he did to do what? To succeed in his hands. He shall be like a tree planted by the riverside, and whatsoever he does shall do what? Shall prosper, and the Lord shall bless the works of our hand. He was crucified, his hands crucified, so that we can have dominion and authority over whatever we touch and whatever we do. So at your place of work, lift your hands and say, by the blood of Jesus, that was yes, everything this hand does shall prosper. It must prosper. His hands were pierced so that your hands might prosper. So that your hands might have authority. So that your hands might have dominion. Think about it. Think about it. His feet was pierced so that wherever you go, he will give for your possession. you have dominion on your feet. You have authority on your feet. Deuteronomy 11:24. I want us all to read together. Let's go. Want to go every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Your territory shall be from the wilderness to Lebanon, from river to river Euphrates, and to the wet sea. This promise was redeemed for us on the cross when his feet were pierced. So you have been transferred to a new land. What do? As you are going, when you get there, you anoint your feet. As my feet touch this land, let this land open for me. I was reading the testimony of a pastor that said when he came from the east, when the Lord asked him to go to Lagos, when he came from the east, he said when he got to Ojota by those three things, you know those three things that are welcoming to Lagos. You know there is no welcoming to Lagos in Lagos. But when you see those three things, you know. He said when he got there, he asked the car boss to stop. He went down, carried his bag, went somewhere around the thing and removed his shoes. Some people were looking at him like a madman. He removed his shoes and rolled his thing and said, Lagos, I have come. It is written, wheresoever the feet, my feet shall touch, he gives me for possession. Lift up your head, O ye gates of Lagos. Be lifted up, ye everlasting door. I touch this ground. This ground must favor me. And that is somebody that understands redemption and what was done to the feet of Jesus. But you know, some of us will just enter a new town. Hey, loco, I won't make you know that I don't land Lagos. So they go here, I'm loco. He's still there, loco. The land has not opened for him. He has not applied what was done to the feet of Jesus. All over his life, he's still having his dream of being in that old house, being in that old village, still writing exam. Why? Loco. You are laughing at loco, but there are many locos in this church. His feet was pierced so that the land might open for us. Are we here? Are we seeing, church? Can we close with Galatians 3:13? Why he was crucified? All about the crucifixion. 3:13. Galatians 3:13. I want us all to read together. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who is hanged on the tree. A curse causeless cannot arise. A curse will only work against you as a believer if you agree with it. Why? Jesus has been made a curse for you. I am not saying people are not exhibiting the symptoms and effects of curses. I'm saying it doesn't have to be there because Jesus has paid for it. Are you here? Have your daddy not paid his school? I don't know if you have this experience before. When some of us were going to school those days, you pay the school fees, they pay PTA, they pay maybe for cutlass, we pay for different things. And after we paid all those things, we went to school and they were checking and they told you that you have not paid for this, so you cannot stay in class. Even though your father has paid for it, you just don't have the receipt. Then you went back home and brought the receipt and you showed them. When you have the receipt, you know the way you walk is different. You don't walk the... You know when they send you home, just go like this. When you are coming back with receipt, what do they mean in this school? What do they mean? With this receipt, they announce that as a believer, you have a receipt of the blood of Jesus against every curse. The devil intentionally told you that you are under a curse. That is why you are going through it. You are the one that must bring the receipt. And that receipt is Galatians 3:13. It is a receipt. Christ redeemed. It didn't say Christ is redeeming. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone who hangeth on the tree. When a person hangs on the tree, the person is crucified. He is cursed. Jesus was cursed so that you might not be cursed.
So, you are with me in the office and you talk to me anyhow, it no go better for you, whatever. It's if I agree with you. I know here. And if you don't know, anyone that digs a pit for me falls into the pit. There are some things we don't need to pray about depending on your level. You will see. You will see. What will I see that Jesus have not seen on the cross? He has seen it all for me. You see, anyone born of a woman that is boasting can perish at any time. Especially if he's boasting against a child of God that understands the crucifixion. It is lack of understanding that makes people to arouse us. And when we know, we come boldly with authority and we pray and we come. Any cause working against anybody here, let the cause expire. Let the cause perish. Let the cause be terminated. Why? Because we know. Galatians 3:13. Hello. So, the cause was working because the devil intentionally was asking for the receipt, even though he knew it has been paid. Now, you have the receipt. Show him the receipt. Everything on the cross, before the cross, after the cross, they were all intentionally done by God. All intentionally done. When the devil was thinking he was victorious, God was intentionally making his plan for his people. Listen, you are intentionally loved. You are not loved by mistake. Are you here? He intentionally died for you. You can't lose again. Except if you agree with the devil. Except if you agree with the devil. Can two work together? Except they agree. When those things are happening, it is because you agree. Then when you bring the receipt and say, I no longer agree. Because of a record, I no longer agree. Things begin to change. But listen to me. The devil is a naughty person. When you tell him, I no longer agree, he will first of all do as if, na lie, this receipt is not genuine. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure what the Bible says? Are you sure? Are you sure? You must insist. It is written. That is a receipt. You must always bring it. Are you here? Are you here? The devil does not release people. People get their freedom by force. He does not release anybody. People get their freedom. You know you can have the receipt and say, leave them. That's what they do. I don't have any power to fight. I'm not ready to fight. There are many believers in church. They are not ready to fight. They are not ready to enforce the judgment that Jesus has got for them. So they are agreeing with the devil. And the devil is still ruling. I'm not ready to fight. I'm not. Let me just leave you. Me, I've made my mind. Let the devil stay his side. Let me also stay my side. The devil does not stay his side. He is the God of this world. He does not stay his side. He will come your side, take you, put you in his pocket also, and be sending you on an errand. The devil does not stay on his side. You are the one that will make him stay on his side. Are we saying, George? Don't let the death of Jesus be in vain. Don't let the death of Jesus be in vain. Deliverance from poverty, healing, salvation, all were made available to you. Lift your two hands up. Let's just pray together. My time is fast spent. Lift your two hands up. Just say with me, Lord, dear Lord Jesus, everything you want for me, that you gain for me, that you acquire for me on the cross of Calvary, I will not lose them.
in the name of Jesus. Any of them that are not yet walking in my life, I bring the receipt. I bring the word. I bring the proof. I bring the witness of the blood, of the word, of the spirit. I bring the witness and I ask that they begin to walk in the name of Jesus. Everything in redemption that are not working in the life of my children, I bring the word. I bring the receipt. I bring the witness and I ask them to begin to walk in the name of Jesus. I come against the devil by the blood, by the blood. I come by the blood of witness. I come by the word of witness and I come against the devil. I ask the word of God to walk. I bring the receipt. Say with me, say, I no longer agree with the devil. I no longer agree with the devil concerning every area of my life. I no longer agree. I agree with the word of God. I agree with the word of God. The word of God is my witness. The blood of Jesus is my witness. The Holy Spirit is my witness. That God is on my side. That it is finished. 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 Everything that Jesus says is finished. That is still working in my life. The blood of Jesus, arise and take them away now. 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 Let the blood take them away. 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 It is finished. We give you all the glory. Jesus, you did not die in vain. My life will not show that you died in vain. My life will be a witness that you died for our victory. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Thank you for coming. We ask that the blessings of Easter and the resurrection will be evident in your family in the name of Jesus. Stretch forth your hand here. The resurrection brought a shift. Let there be a shift in every area of your life. In the name of Jesus, the resurrection disarm, destroy, and disgrace the devil. Let the devil be destroyed and be disgraced in your life. In the name of Jesus, the resurrection brought back to life Jesus when men thought it was over. Anywhere in your life, any area of your life that men think it's over for you, by the power of the resurrection, let there be a new beginning for you. In the name of Jesus, everything you have desired that your hands have not touched, let the power of the resurrection make them available for you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. If you are watching for the second time, we have information from you, for you at this part of the church. Stretch forth your hand for your blessing. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace all the days of your life. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for sharing the moment with us. We hope you have been blessed and we look forward to hearing from you. You can reach us via WhatsApp, SMS or calls on 090-1137-1118. You can visit or worship with us at the Citadel of Impact, New Estate Baptist Church, behind Silver Mall, near Sakale Bus Stop, Buhari Expressway, Dusse Alaji, Abuja. Or join us on Facebook and YouTube at NEBC Dusse Abuja, on Instagram at TCI_Abuja, or Mixlr audio channel at TCI-Abuja. Our worship time is 7:30 a.m., 9 a.m., and 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, and on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Till we come your way again, stay blessed and stay safe. Grace to you.